Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, check out this here back on First Take. The Cowboys are now shorthanded at the wideout position, one that was once an embarrassment of riches. We learned earlier this week that James Washington suffered a fractured foot that'll keep him sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. Michael Gallup still recovering from that torn ACL. He's going to have to miss some time. And then we know they traded Amari Cooper to the Browns. So that leaves CeeDee Lamb as the only receiver on the roster who has caught a touchdown pass from Dak Prescott. Speaking of, here is Dak Prescott to those who say the Cowboys receiving group has taken a step back.
You're never going to catch me looking at anything in my life as a step back. You've got an opportunity to move forward. You've got an opportunity to grow. And if you don't do that, then you're in trouble and you've already lost to begin with.
Look, Dak always says the right things. I will say this. This man, you put a microphone in front of him, he'll always tell me the right things. But that doesn't take away from the fact that him and the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, they are always set up for scrutiny. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. But, guys, who will be under the microscope more this season? Is it going to be Dak Prescott or is it going to be Mike McCarthy? Canty, what do you think?
It's
going to
be Mike McCarthy. Think about how the way things ended in Green Bay with him and not getting along with Aaron Rodgers and that relationship running its course. And then you think about what it's been since he's been in Dallas. He's going to be the one that's under the most scrutiny because last year they had the most penalized team. And then think about the clock management, end of game situations. I go back to the end of the regular season against the Arizona Cardinals. And then obviously the wild card game against the San Francisco 49ers. All of those are reflections of the head coach. And quite frankly, Mike McCarthy has not done the job with the talent that's on that roster. So I think he's going to be the one that comes under the most scrutiny if things don't go Jerry's way in Dallas this season.
Not to mention he hired his buddy at defensive coordinator a few seasons ago, and we saw how that went until Dan Quinn came in there and saved the day. So add that on with all those other things that reflect decision-making and coaching and leadership or lack thereof. And then look at what Dak Prescott's done at the quarterback position. I mean, the guy should have been comeback player of the year a season ago with what he did. He shined. You talked about he always says the right things. He's been a leader during turbulent times there. So there's no questions of who Dak Prescott is. None with the Cowboys. He's just fine.
This is real
There's
cute.
No questions about this is, Dak Prescott.
This is real,
he's just fine.
It's real cute. I like this. When we are, you guys are giving the right answer, who should be under the most scrutiny.
Okay.
Not who will be under the most scrutiny. Right now.
Well, what loses their job if this goes wrong?
That's the point. There you go.
Right now, we are in August. And in August, it is people are level-headed and they make rational and reasonable things. You know what happens when teams play poorly. They blame the quarterback. You saw it last year. Dak got a bunch of criticism. He's always going to get that criticism in part because of his contract. And I am not someone who agrees with anybody counting people's money. My belief is Dak earned his money, and it is now the front office's job to find a way to get talent around him. But that's not how it's going to be interpreted. If they fall short, people are going to say they don't have the offensive lineman that they had before because Dak's contract's too big. They don't have the receivers that they needed because Dak's contract is too big. That's what's going to be said. They're going to throw that in their face unless they lose like three games because of clock management issues, in which case then we'll go to Mike McCarthy, which I think is much less likely than them. What's more likely to happen is they're going to fall short because their team is not good enough. And they're not even going to be in those late game situations to blame Mike McCarthy. And when it comes down to it, people are going to look at that salary cap and say Dak Prescott cost them the talent that they need. They're going to be dead wrong, but that's what they're going to
say. But hold on. Dak Prescott ain't the contract that cost them all of that talent. Contract that cost them all of that talent is Ezekiel Elliott getting $90 million. And that was a Jerry Jones call, which is an albatross. But think about this. Guys, when Aaron Rodgers ditched Mike McCarthy, you're talking about him winning, what, 39 regular season games over the past 3 years and having back-to-back MVPs? That's what we're talking about. There is a question about who Mike McCarthy is as a head coach now. Not the guy 10 years ago that won a Super Bowl. Who is he as a head coach right now?
But the thing is,
it doesn't feel like he's a head coach that's going to allow your team to do high-level winning, and I think that will be more of the narrative in Dallas if things don't go the way that they envision.
In Mike McCarthy's defense, he did win a Super Bowl. That's pretty high-level winning. But aside from that,
In 2010. What year is it again?
I'm not interested in defending Mike McCarthy.
I just thought
anybody who was watching this heard you say that he can't do high-level winning. He could come in here and throw his ring on the table and be like, that looked pretty high-level to me. I just thought that it was a reasonable thing.
I want a ring more recently than Mike McCarthy. Well, then why don't you?
Why don't you coach the Cowboys then?
It can't be no worse than what we saw in the wild card round. I promise you that.
I'm with you. I'll be your defensive coordinator.
They'd be the same. Neither of them have a clock on their wrist.
I'll be happy to be the defensive coordinator if I only got to come to work like twice a week. We good.
The reason why
I think Mike McCarthy, I think he does deserve the scrutiny, which is what makes this argument that we're having a little odd, because I agree with all your points, but I don't think it'll land on him, because what are we going to scrutinize him for? Mm. Because the offense isn't playing well, he don't manage that because the special teams is bad. He not coordinating that because the defense falls short. That ain't his job either. So, like, it comes down to one or two things. Penalties.
And clock management.
And he's awful at both of them. Agreed. It's for the scrutiny to fall on him, that's going to have to be the reason why they failed this season. And I don't think that's going to be the reason why they failed this season. Right. They aren't good enough is the reason why they failed.
It was a part of the reason why they lost against the 49ers.
He doesn't have a long list of responsibilities. I'm not taking away from being a head coach, but as you just alluded to, those two things were in the gutter. But then what did they do in the draft this year? They went out and drafted a player who's bad with penalties. So they're adding on to the list of issues this upcoming season. Look, Dak Prescott, and in that last game that we saw when there was clock management problems at the end and the spike at the wrong time and all these things, we didn't look at Dak Prescott in the confusion. We looked to Mike McCarthy, who didn't seem to know what he's doing. It feels like Mike McCarthy has already been on his way out or on the hot seat. We've talked about Sean Payton going to Dallas. We've had all these discussions about the head coaching position, whereas Dak is in there for the long haul, it feels like. So while it may need to fall on Dak a little bit more because of the contract he's making and he's now the face of the franchise, it feels like it's set up for Mike McCarthy to be the face of scrutiny this upcoming season if things don't go Dallas's way.
I agree with you, Shay. Where this ignorance could really, really start to bubble up to the forefront, I say ignorance because it would be improperly displaced. You know what I'm saying.
We got you.
And it's going to be that offensive line is going to really struggle. Outside of Zach Martin, I mean, there's nothing really proven there. And when you got a quarterback running for his life and he doesn't have the receivers there set up currently, you might see some struggles from Dak Prescott that won't be on Dak Prescott. But to the untrained eye and that fan base, as aggressive as they are, that stuff might come to Dak Prescott. So now I feel like the conversation shifted a little bit where we know who it should go to.
Right.
Yeah. But again, going where Dom's saying, we know also where it may go.
Well, there's no doubt about it, because playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is the most high-profile job in the National Football League. I mean, it's like shortstop for the Yankees or center for the Lakers.
Shout out to Captain. That's been a fun watch.
Yeah, absolutely, it has been. But that's the scrutiny that Dak is always going to be under, especially when he's got the $40 million contract, because everybody's looking for him to be a force multiplier. But at some point, the head coach is going to have to help you overcome some deficiencies, too. Right. And Mike McCarthy hasn't done that in his career. Listen, without Brett Favre and without Aaron Rodgers, you know what his record is as a head coach? It's 24-26-1. Shout out to Hembo off the top rope. He was listening to our conversation, gave me that nugget. But, I mean, that's the reality of it. Your head coach has to help you overcome certain things, and Mike McCarthy has not done that throughout the course of his career, even though he has a championship on his resume. And that's the thing that people should be looking for when evaluating the Dallas Cowboys this year.
You brought it up, Canty, like in terms of where the blame should go. Like, we can talk about McCarthy and Dak all day long, but, like, Zeke needs to take some of this onus as well.
Well, Zeke ain't going to be on the team next year. He's done that. I don't think he's going to be the starting running back once we get past the first couple of months of the regular season.
There in itself is a problem if you're the Dallas Cowboys, because this
that
is supposed
Zeke
to be.
Paul.
What are you talking about?
And he got paid?
He's had 10 fumbles in the last season.
Zeke did the right thing in getting paid.
I ain't mad at Zeke.
He
hit him with the flim-flam Euro step. I'm with it. I've been trying to do that my whole career. Instead, it goes opposite. I work more than I should. I'm trying to figure out how I get on this Zeke plan.
Yeah,
he
paid
me a couple bucks.
Here's the thing.
To do less.
And you said you couldn't hoop. You still got it a little
right?
bit.
I'm an athlete. I can do everything.
The Cowboys are a coach away. Is what people would say. They wouldn't say they're a quarterback away. And I think that's another way you can
Jerry
table
Jones
to say,
is hoping
if we're talking about scrutiny, that's where this is going to come. Because Jerry's going to sit there and say, I know Dak. I paid Dak. Right. So Dak's my guy. He's going to look at it and say, we can't get a coach to get us back to where we need to be.
I agree. So that we all agree with who gets the scrutiny. But let's walk through this thought exercise with me. Next year, they're going to lose a game or lose several games maybe. Maybe they lose three in a row. In those three games, is the quarterback going to play well or play poorly? he's probably going to throw – he's going to play poorly.
The struggle probably,
right?
In those games.
He's going to throw some interceptions. And that's what I'm saying. After he throws some interceptions, they lose. No one's going to be like, hey, maybe Jerry Jones should have built a better roster around him. No one's going to be like, hey, Mike McCarthy needs to get on these penalties. Because you said to the untrained eye, most eyes are quite untrained. And those eyes are going to see Dak Prescott throwing interceptions or getting sack fumbles and say, Dak Prescott ruined this team. He needed to
get
better.
Look how they did Aaron Rodgers right before – at the very beginning of last season when there were struggles. This guy can't play.
When they got blasted by New Orleans, yeah.
And that's what I think is going to happen.
What happened?
It feels like you're coming over. It feels like you're coming over.
It does sound like that, though, right? He's waffling a little bit. Come on, Jordan.
We're talking about ignorance, and I know a lot about ignorance, so I can go both sides with this one. Because
you know a lot about ignorance?
He said it.
That's
double entendre or something. I don't know what it is.
Usually you're good at the English language. Today it's tripping me up a little bit. The reality, guys, is McCarthy and Dak together, they haven't been great. They're only 6-9 outside of the NFC East. We know what that NFC East has been the last couple of years. So this has got to be a year for them to figure it out together and not have separate scrutiny problems.
Let Jalen Hurts and the Eagles win that division.
They will win the division. Sean Payton will be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys next year.
So we just see why even have the discussion. We just scripted it all up.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. You know, Cooper Kupp had an amazing season last year. I'm probably putting it lightly. He led the league in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. And he played a big role in the Rams winning the Super Bowl, where he caught 8 balls for 92 yards, 2 touchdowns, and went home with the MVP trophy. But still, Cooper Kupp struggling to get that respect as the top receiver. Here's what Vikings wideout Justin Jefferson recently said when he was asked where he stacks up next to Cooper Kupp. He said, "Coop is good, but I'll say he's behind me." Kupp then responded, "I respect his opinion, and I can also respectfully disagree." So there are so many great receivers in the league. But who is the best? Well, for that, Dominique has given us his top 5 wideouts in the NFL right now. So, Dom, take it away.
All right, I'm starting at number 5, and I know it's going to upset a lot of people, but particularly some people at this desk, because some of them might have some biases. But I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. What he did last year was incredible and outstanding. But, I mean, I feel like you need a little bit of longevity. You need a little bit more to be able to knock yourself or to bump yourself up against or above some of these other guys that are on this list. So I'm not mad if my number one wide receiver, if my team had Ja'Marr Chase to throw to. But I would like to have number 4, Devontae Adams, before I take Ja'Marr Chase. See, that's the problem.
When you say,
okay, y'all can be upset, but it's my damn list, so y'all gonna have to deal with it. So where I put Chase, and then also what where I put Adams? Do you think Adams is better than Chase? I think Adams is better than Chase. Barely. He's done a lot of similar things over a long longer period of time. And the reason why he takes a slight demerit, I guess, is because he's had the good fortune of having an outstanding quarterback his entire career. Mm-hmm. So I think that, not to take anything away from him, but obviously your numbers are going to be inflated when you have a guy like that. So I'm going to go with him at four. Number three, Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is a special, special football player. His combination of speed, quickness, run after the catch, and big playability is unmatched in this league. He's not the tallest guy in the league, is the only reason why I don't have him at number one, because everything else he can do, he will break your defense. I promise you, if a defensive coordinator is preparing his game plan for a team that has Tyreek Hill on it, the first thing that they are looking to eliminate is that dude. And that's how I know he is incredibly special, because everything that you do, the first thing that goes to your mind is, how is this going to impact Tyreek Hill? Is this going to make it more or less likely for Tyreek Hill to cook us? He is that special, and I look forward to seeing what he does in Miami. And at number two, Stephon Diggs. So I did a list like this about 3 years ago, and I did Stephon Diggs at number one, and people were up in arms. Then Stephon Diggs got to Buffalo, and he made Josh Allen into what Josh Allen is today. There are Josh Allen numbers pre-Stephon Diggs, and there are Josh Allen numbers post-Stephon Diggs. In the same way that I said Devontae Adams benefited from having a great quarterback, it's not to take anything away from Josh Allen, but Josh Allen is a different man because that special guy out there cannot be covered one-on-one. That breaks defenses. You're either going to double, you're either going to play zone, and then combine that with Josh Allen's running ability, it makes that offense. He is the guy that makes that offense. Hold up, I see you getting ready to talk.
Yeah, because I mean,
it ain't your turn yet.
All right.
And I feel like we have to go with number one, Cooper Kupp. You have to. Hold on.
What
how y'all gonna be upset?
What are we really even doing here?
How y'all gonna be upset with that? Okay, I got a question for
somebody
you.
Somebody screenshot this. I want this posted.
Screenshot. Are you? Hold on, back up.
Yes, sir.
Man,
yes,
sir. Shoes in too. Man, listen.
This is the only reason why I agreed to do a stand-up today was so I get my shoes on camera.
The list is talking. The list is talking here.
Hold on.
He don't even believe this.
Yeah, no. Listen. I can't.
I got a question for you.
What's up?
What more does Cooper Kupp have to do to get number one on your list? That's why I put him number one, because I felt like an imbecile coming in here after this man won the triple crown. I'm not going to put him at number one. What more? It's like he can't be up there. Don't. Okay.
Are we going to fight him, or are we going to put him
on? Come on.
We ain't going to fight you. First of all, Cooper Kupp, number one on your list. I don't know that Cooper Kupp is top seven.
I flip when it comes to the, I would flip him. Should we just remove him and let's just do it on the list? If I stand closer, it looks like I'm the same height.
I like that.
Listen, no disrespect to Cooper Kupp. So you mean, you know that means I'm about to throw a lot of shade. Okay, Cooper Kupp, I don't know if he's a top six receiver in the National Football League. Because if I'm drafting receivers, I'm taking all of these guys on this list in front of him. I'm probably also taking DK Metcalf, and I might take Deebo Samuel,
too. What about Justin Jefferson?
That's what I'm saying.
Second in the league in receiving yards.
Justin Jefferson should be up there, too. So all I'm saying is Cooper Kupp, I respect what he's done in that Sean McVay offense. If you take him out of that Sean McVay offense and put any one of these guys there, they are going to be equally as productive, if not more so.
And clearly you don't like new money because Ja'Marr Chase hasn't done
Ja'Marr Chase the best receiver in the NFL.
Despite the fact that we've never seen a rookie season like that, ever.
Yeah, they were a double-digit loss team the year before Ja'Marr Chase. They went to the Super Bowl last year.
And they did it because it was Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow.
I think that's why it happened.
Let me know when y'all done so I can go ahead and finish this.
Now, Stephon Diggs, respect to Stephon Diggs. I think there's more respect to Stephon Diggs from this guy because there's a little bit of that Maryland Terrapin Route 1 stuff going on.
It might just be a little bit of that going on there. I respect that. I think Stephon Diggs is a top five player.
Tyreek Hill, that's about where he should be. Devontae Adams, man, that seems a little low to me. And, of course, we said Ja'Marr Chase.
So, to be clear, this is similar to the conversation we were having quarterbacks earlier. There's no wide receiver. There are more wide receivers that fit into this category than that aren't on this list. And I would take all of them. They're great. But I will, with all due respect, use my trump card here. I played cornerback.
You did?
I played cornerback, and I watched Cooper Kupp, and I get on these shows a lot of times, and I like to point out racial bias, mostly in against black players, and that is something that I do. I get lots of hate online but because of it, and I thoroughly enjoy it. So I'm going to revel in my opportunity to want, for the first time in my life, to point out the racial bias against my man, Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp
gets devalued because you look at him and he don't look like a wide receiver. You watch that tape, Cooper Kupp in the slot is nasty as anybody in the league. He won the damn triple crown. How can he not be number one? Y'all talking about putting him at five? You want to put him at six or seven? All I'm saying is I don't know what it is, but
Dom, let me ask you this question.
He got all the touchdowns.
Dom, I got to ask you this question. Because you played corner, I didn't. Let me ask you this question. Is Cooper Kupp the toughest guy to defend on this list?
No.
On an island, who would have you most scared of those five?
Yeah, exactly. So you're talking about it.
Okay,
I want to hear you bring it up. Because you're a corner.
Okay, who's
the toughest guy to defend?
The cornerback.
The toughest guy to defend at the position.
Let's be clear what card we're talking about. The cornerback.
So to be clear, I would have sleepless nights for all of these guys, but it's that dude right there.
Yeah, that's fair.
The one guy that.
Okay, so who's number two then? You got Tyreek Hill.
It's that guy right there.
Who's number three? Who's number four? You had an agenda with this list. That's what it was.
Yeah, right.
You had an agenda.
He's trying to win it back.
You wanted to point out the racial bias with Cooper Kupp. That's what it
was. That's all.
I want to
make the world a better place.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Good news for everyone. Football was actually back last night. We're going to count the preseason because from now, guys, until mid-February, we have football, either college or NFL, every single week. The Raiders came out hot. They looked good last night against the Jags. I know we didn't get to see Derek Carr, Davante Adams, a lot of the starters, but we did see Josh Jacobs and rookie Zamir White, which now has us all itching, obviously, for the real deal. The AFC West gauntlet is what it's going to be this upcoming season. You know, ESPN's FPI gives the Chargers the highest percentage to win the division at 29%. The Chiefs, who have won six straight AFC West titles, enter with the third highest percentage with a 26% chance to win the division. Guys, we've gone round and round about the AFC West and who's the best team in this division, but now we're going to open this thing up a little bit because we kind of went into it a little bit last hour, but the best quarterback. Who's the best quarterback in this division? Let's take the team away from it, take the coaching staffs away from it. We are going quarterback. Go ahead.
Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how you can make any argument outside of Patrick Mahomes. I think that Justin Herbert, there's potential to get there. Russell Wilson has had some good runs, but not through the course of an entire season. Patrick Mahomes has been virtually flawless until last season's playoff run for his entire career. The only reason why he didn't win the Super Bowl as a first-time starter in his second year in the league was because someone jumped off sides. And he didn't win the Super Bowl last year because his whole O-line, or the year before last, because his whole O-line was hurt. Mm-hmm. And last year was his only real slip-up. In the midst of that, we saw the greatest game possibly in NFL history where he out-dueled Josh Allen last year. So I feel like it's got to be Patrick Mahomes. Even his worst year, which was last year, was still better than most quarterbacks could ever dream of. So it feels disrespectful to name anybody else on in this division.
Yeah, I'm riding with my homeboy too, man. And here's the thing. We can talk about all the different accolades and Pat Mahomes already having 12 game-winning drives in his short NFL career, having never played a road playoff game, all of those different things, having never had a season where he didn't have double-digit wins. But I think what encapsulates Patrick Mahomes is that 13 seconds in the fourth quarter in the divisional round against the Bills. Where you're talking about the guy getting the ball on his own 25-yard line and being able to set up Harrison Butker after two passes, one to Travis Kelce, one to Tyreek Hill, to get them a 52-yard shot at a field goal to tie it and take it into overtime. Like, that's how special this guy is. He always gives you a chance to win games. I don't know that you can say that about every single quarterback in the AFC West, not consistently to the level that Pat Mahomes has shown in his 4 years as a starter.
I get it. You guys are going with the brand name. You stand by it. You guarantee it. I understand why you would go that route, but let's be very clear.
A little blue magic.
Shay's over here like, what the hell are you going to
say? Where he can go?
I'm going to go with the guy who's proven that he can do it. And now has continuity. All those other guys in the AFC West, you're talking about some new. You're talking about a new coach with the Raiders. You're talking about, yes, it's his boy Devontae Adams, but he's coming in. It's new. Look at Russell Wilson, an entirely new cast around him. And, oh, by the way, Tyreek Hill just left the Chiefs. Everything is in place there with this Chargers group. Everything is in place with a guy that showed he could do it all. The only question I need to see is taking a little bit better care of the football. But the talent, the skill, a pass-happy offense, an all-pro running back behind him to alleviate some of that pressure, Keenan Allen and the crew. Give me Justin Herbert because I like the staying power of that group from last year to this.
I like Patrick Mahomes, but guys, last year, I mean, he turned that ball over far more than I could stomach. Postseason Patrick, fine, but regular season Patrick last year, albeit his defense didn't help him out a lot, there were a lot of turnovers that were not necessary, yes?
I got a question.
Hit me.
You got one quarterback to win a game. Who are you choosing? The interesting thing, before you answer that question.
It's a Patrick Mahomes. That'd be disrespectful. Okay.
Right, so what are we talking
about? I'm doing the same thing y'all did to me.
But here's what
I learned fast.
But here's what you got. You got to count into everything.
Can
it's
going to
propel
question,
that
please?
Person to be the best quarterback this year.
Can I ask one more question, please? You said that you have only one question about Justin Herbert.
It's what kept him from being maybe the MVP this past year.
It's an enormous question.
Yeah.
What's your question for Patrick Mahomes? You ain't got
nail one. Nail one.
He answered them
here
all.
He
answered them before you asked them.
No. Here it is. How much better did Tyreek Hill make him? You have to find out what Tyreek Hill did. Tyreek Hill was what did you just say about Tyreek Hill over there?
He's the scariest man to cover, in my view.
Is he throwing him the football this year?
Hope not.
Okay.
That
looms large.
Well done.
That's the biggest question there.
All right, let's switch gears here. Today, the Ocho takes over ESPN2 for 24 hours, and I meant really switching gears, guys. It becomes the number one destination for seldom seen sports. The Ocho will include 14 and a half hours of live events from two venues. Marty Smith and Ryan McGee will anchor a one-hour special on The Ocho Show from 2 to p.m. Eastern. And we've got Marty and Ryan with us right now. And guys, please fill us in on what you've got going on today.
First thing that we have going on today is I have spent an entire life preparing this farmer's camp. That's where you find folks.
Get out to SPF.
I have several different hues here.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Whatever made. Down to the red.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
No. There you go. Turn down the iris on the camera, please. Yeah, but hey, we've already thrown axes. We've watched people throw knives. We've seen cornhole.
We're getting ready to do pogo sticks after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an extravaganza of unfortunate moments, but we got Jack Blayhouse here. He's a wiffle ball pitcher, and I've already tried to take a couple cuts off of his best stuff. I didn't succeed very well. Did I know that he's like Eddie Harris from Major League. He's got all kind of foreign substances up and down his
Crisco.
How am I supposed to compete with that, man?
Yeah, lard. What all's on there?
A little spider tack, a little rosin.
Bar dog. I mean, I could go into the rest of the line, but we might get fired.
Yeah.
All day long we're out here. McGee and I are chronicling all of this crazy sporting mess, and we decided that it would be good for you guys if we tried very hard to hit off of Jack. How do you think we're going to do?
We'll see.
What advice do you have for us to hit off of your various...
Good rule of thumb is if it's coming at you, swing. If it's looking like a strike, don't swing. It's not going to be a strike.
So y'all thought the last few days, you know, Juan Soto news was the biggest in the sport of swinging baseball bats.
Yeah.
Alas, you were incorrect. You're up first.
All right, there you go.
Ricky Henderson, lead us.
I didn't take any BP yet, but I'm going to do it right now.
Forget about the curveball.
All right, so if it's coming at me,
if it's coming right at you, that's going to be the one to swing at.
If it's coming right at me, that's the one. All right, be kind.
Hey, Matt stares right now.
Yeah.
Swing out of your shoes.
To quote Crash Davis,
right?
Speak of me, speak well. Yeah. There we go. All right. I'll take that, right? Okay. All right. Should I stop? I think I should stop. No. Oh.
You almost got that.
No. Oh. See, I did the thing. It was sitting there, and
then
it left.
Let me try one before they send it back to the studio.
Okay, see, there you go. So Marty got a couple off of him during BP, and so he immediately beans him. It's my job. All right, so there you go. Was that one coming at you?
It was coming
at him. Okay.
All right.
All right, contact. Contact. That's right.
ESPN2, Marty and McGee, bringing you all the weird sports.
Whoa, that was it. That was it. Flip it. There you go. That's a bat flip right there. All right, the Ocho all day long on ESPN 2. If it's all sport, it's on the Ocho. If they're almost athletes, then we're on the Ocho too.
Awesome.
You know, I got to give it to these guys because wiffle ball is not easy to just pick up a bat and go with. And here athletes. They are. They're out there.
I didn't peg McGee for an athlete.
Right?
Pretty good.
And eye coordination strong.
Pretty good. I'm trying to figure out if we can get that guy to pitch for the Yankees rather than Garrett Cole.
Oh, come on.
Strays.
Seriously.
I'm a Yankees fan. That's ridiculous.
You can't have everything. I
would just hope that the guy we paid $324 million to doesn't allow 6 earned runs in the first inning.
It's your fault, Dom.
How much did you pay him? I just wanted to celebrate the triceps that we saw there.
What triceps? You saw triceps?
Yeah, he had a cut. That was nice. It was better than I anticipated.
I didn't see anything.
You got athlete expectations. That's the problem. I got TV expectations. Those are great TV triceps, and I won't let anybody say anything else.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The AFC is stacked with talent. We've already discussed that a lot today on the show. But the Chiefs have been in the last 4 AFC Championship games. But will it be a tough road to make it back? Kansas City's offense is still led by Patrick Mahomes, but now without one of the fastest receivers in the game after Tyreek Hill, who's treated the Miami Dolphins. Then there's the reigning AFC champion Bengals, who return a lot of the same players, an enhanced offensive line. But the question, of course, is, was last year maybe just a fluke? And before everyone makes a face, I don't think anyone thought the Bengals were going to be in the place that they were, obviously, last season. And so now we're in a position where we get to actually talk about the Bengals, perhaps in the postseason next year. Which of these two teams, Chiefs or Bengals, are going to find their way to the AFC Championship game?
We're not talking about the Chiefs and their enhancements to be better next year. The conversation starts with Tyreek Hill and him not being there. With Cincinnati, we're talking about what was missing and the enhancements they made there. And that's the offensive line. You bring in 3 pieces there. Let's be very clear. They are 1 play away from maybe winning that Super Bowl. Joe Burrow has a half second more. He's finding his guy, Jamar Chase, who once again had burnt Jalen Ramsey down the right sideline. And maybe it's the most exhilarating finish we've seen in Super Bowl history. It didn't happen. They fixed it. This team is in place to go out there and do it again. Joe Burrow has another. Last year was a rookie season for Joe Burrow in a lot of ways. Lion's share of that first season, his actual rookie season, he was gone. This group showed what they can do. The core pieces are back. Their defense, very underrated defense, was a top-tier defense last year. Every starter returns minus 1. And B.J. Hill was the guy who stepped up for Larry Ogunjobi masterfully in the postseason. This group is built to do it because they're young, they believe, and I think this is an intangible that's worthwhile, and I'll leave it here. These guys get along. They're a very close group, and the locker room is intact. It wasn't they won. This guy is worried about what he's going to get paid. This guy's worried what he's going to get paid. And I understand Jesse Bates looms large right now. He's going to play this year. I think the Bengals are primed to come right back.
Yeah, they weren't worried about all those things because they weren't good. Now that they're good, now that's when those other concerns pop in. Those are the things that test the team is once you start winning and once you start playing well. The Chiefs have been doing this for a while, so I'm not as concerned about them. Andy Reid's been doing it for a while. I trust him, and I trust Patrick Mahomes. Your football analysis, though, outside of that, outstanding. The case that you made for them getting back is a good case. I even love that you said they were a play away from winning the Super Bowl because they were also a play away from losing two other playoff games. Like, you could argue that – not argue. They did not have the talent that we thought you needed to get to the Super Bowl. They got hot. They got on a good run. They got lucky. That man got sacked 470 times against the Titans, and they still won.
Yeah, had it not been for Ryan Tannehill, they probably
would have lost that game. But now imagine if he's not getting sacked.
That's fine.
He's not getting sacked.
So, well, would they score like 9 points? Well, all right, exactly. They'll score 14. And then they had Patrick Mahomes, who we've only seen be perfect. They had to have him fall apart at the end of a game. So, like,
they beat him twice last year.
I understand you. I'm talking about the playoffs. You said they was a play away from winning the Super Bowl.
They went into Kansas City and won that play.
I know. I remember that. However, they were a play away. You are so biased. This is dripping.
How many times have you talked about the Cincinnati Bengals on these shows in the last 5 years?
Too much, obviously. You got the orange in your veins.
You see me tap him, I'm like, okay. Yeah.
He is in on it. So, like, I
got a rep.
These debates are uncomfortable because I hate trying to talk about a bad or a good team and make it seem like they're going to be bad, because I certainly think the Bengals are good, and I wouldn't be shocked if they got back to the playoffs. But if you're asking me to put an amount of money that I care about on organization and infrastructure that could get back to the Super Bowl, I'm looking at Andy, I'm looking at Eric, I'm looking at Patrick. The same can't be said for what they have in Cincinnati.
Well, here's what I'll say about this, and it's an interesting position that I'm in, because I'm still picking the Kansas City Chiefs to win the AFC West, even though we recognize it's one of the toughest divisions that the NFL has ever seen. But that being said, the easiest path to getting back to the AFC Championship game is winning your division, and it feels like it's an easier road for the Cincinnati Bengals to do it. Because when you look at the AFC North, you got huge question marks at quarterback in Cleveland. You got huge question marks about quarterback in Pittsburgh. That leaves the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, the contract situation, not to mention health being a concern, all the injuries that they suffered last year. I feel most confident in the Cincinnati Bengals being able to play at the level that we saw them last year in comparison to any of those other teams in that particular division. So when you think about the upgrades, three of the five offensive line starters, they upgraded. They brought in Lyle Collins. They brought in Ted Karras. They brought in Alex Kappa. You're talking about them having arguably the best triplets in the National Football League with Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, and Ja'Marr Chase. And then when you look at what they did on the defensive side of the ball, they upgraded the deficiencies that they had on the back end. They drafted Dax Hill early on to be a safety in a slot corner in their defense. They added Mike Hilton, who's been known to be one of the best nickels in all of football. Yeah. Not to mention what you're talking about up front with Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. They were top 10 in pressures in the National Football League last year, despite being bottom 10 in blitz percentage. The Cincinnati Bengals have it all working for them, and not to mention the last piece of this that nobody's talking about, the psychology of this team. Because they're a confident group now that they've been able to show that they're capable of being able to do high-level winning. This is a young team that has a lot of confidence rolling into next year. I like the Cincinnati Bengals to get back to where they were in the AFC Championship game last year in comparison to the Kansas City Chiefs.
And another thing that I think has people weary is the front office. The Bengals will mess this thing up. And I know that's kind of the elephant in the room right
that's
now.
That's true. That's true.
But they're showing signs of, hey, we're going to secure our guys. We're going to do what we need to do. We're going to spend the money. Look at the naming rights. I mean, it's not going to be Paul Brown Stadium. Mike Brown's about to change the name of his father off of the stadium because they need that money.
Yeah.
And they had the most expensive offseason in terms of free agency a year ago in terms of spending.
Like that? Everything is changing.
Throwing big money at guys. Yeah.
Marketability. Everything from the top down is changing because of belief in Joe Burrow.
I'm willing to accept that I could potentially be wrong because Patrick Mahomes.
Breaking news.
That's twice in this show, by the way.
Because Patrick Mahomes, I remember the Super Bowl against the Bucks, and Patrick Mahomes lost, and I picked them to win, despite the fact that my whole life in football, I understood that you can't win up front, you can't win.
True.
And they had so many bad offensive linemen in that game, but the drug that is Patrick Mahomes was so potent that I was like, it don't matter, he's gonna overcome it. And that's why I picked him, or that's why I picked him then, and that's why I was mad at myself afterwards, because I knew the right answer. But that could possibly be what's leaking into my system right now, that Patrick Mahomes narcotic. However, he does have a line to protect him, and I agree. Losing Tyreek Hill is big, but they've improved their offensive line. They're going to protect him, or they haven't. They improved it last year. They're going to protect him, and you brought it up earlier in a different conversation, and all these conversations are so hard because our opinions are actually very close, but you brought it up earlier, is he makes the plays that make you believe.
Yes.
And Joe Burrow did it last year. Absolutely. He's going to be in a better situation. But Patrick Mahomes has done it every year, every game, except for one.
Couple things.
Last season.
Does that narcotic make you a better lover? That's what I'm curious about.
Aaron Rodgers.
The ayahuasca.
Apparently, Aaron Rodgers is the well, we don't know. We see him playing. Never mind. Get us out of here.
We're off the rails now.
Make sense of this all, please, if you don't mind. It's better for my household for me to hope that the Bengals go ahead and win the AFC Championship game, right? And they go to that place. However, I do feel like if you look at what the Chiefs have this upcoming season, I get they lost Tyreek Hill. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but don't they still have Travis Kelce on this roster?
Yep.
I mean, this isn't like we're looking at the Green Bay Packers who lost Devontae Adams, and that was really kind of the list.
It can't be understated. It can't be understated, though. If you want to be the king, you got to go on the castle and take the crown.
Right.
And that confidence that now exudes in Cincinnati, because they went into the belly of the beast, I don't care about the offensive line. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's a certain Hall of Famer. You're going in there, and we had already beat him once in the regular season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was no reason to go win that game. And I get the Bengals were lucky. They were healthy.
By a ton.
They were healthy all year, too. But let's be very clear on the other side. The Rams, Super Bowl champs, were very lucky. You got to be lucky.
Yeah.
You got to be good. You got to be healthy. Yes, the Bengals had all that. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I like them better than the Chiefs. You also asked if Mahomes, who do you have faith in at the end of a game? Patrick Mahomes, of course.
No doubt.
I'm telling you right now, I know the body of work is not as long. I have equally as much confidence in Joe Burrow, equally as much confidence at the end of the game in Joe Burrow. And sometimes you can say that kind of stuff when somebody's special. And he is special because his wideout has done something we've never seen in a rookie season.
You know the crazy thing about what you just said, Jordan?
Is that it's crazy?
The fact that it came out of it, no. The fact that I'm not completely dismissing it.
It's not crazy.
That's the thing. I can't completely dismiss
what he's
saying.
You get Joe Burrow to the game and you go,
it is one full season as a starter in the National Football League. This dude took the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Higgins,
they ain't won a playoff game in 30
years.
Hurst
is a tight end position.
30 years.
I was trying to go the other way.
And then 5-1-3, stand up.
I'm
better win the Super Bowl this year.
I'll also say this about the Kansas City Chiefs, though. Their schedule is front-loaded when they could very well be very healthy, this Kansas City Chiefs team. They have time to maybe rest up for the postseason. That doesn't bode well in your favor. I said already it's better for my household if the Bengals are there.
She does like Skyline Chili, though.
I do. I will wear that. That is true. I do.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so I get it. You know, football and aggressiveness, it's an asset. But for one Saints rookie, he might be pushing it just a little bit too far. New Orleans 2022 first-round pick right tackle Trevor Penning was kicked out of practice not one, not two, but 3 days in a row this week for fighting. And so getting kicked out of anywhere 3 days in a row is probably a little excessive, let alone training camp when you're a rookie.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'll defer to the two former NFL players here because Jay and I might need to sit this.
Understand why y'all punch with helmets on.
Like, yeah, that's
that's one.
No, the open fist, though, as long as you have the open hand, you're good. You're not going to hurt anything. It's when you had a closed fist is where it can become a problem.
Oh, I see.
So as long as you got the open
fist. That's the boxer's break.
I'm just saying.
That's the boxer's
break. But if you're a true vet, you jerk down on the face mask. ass, then you jerk up to get the helmet to pop off.
So is this what Trevor
exactly. Then you can get at that face.
Is this what Trevor Penning's doing?
Yeah, he's got the open hand. He's got the open hand. But here's the thing. Trevor Penning, he's a smart football player. You know why? He knows his personnel. He's looking at a backup defensive end and a free safety. Those are the guys that he's getting in fights with. It ain't Cameron Jordan out there. It ain't Marcus Davenport or Daniel Anyamata. It's not those dudes. He's getting in fights with guys that look like they're easy wins.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go after the vets either as a rookie. So Trevor Penning has this kind of history. I remember, like, I'm sure you saw it when you were at
Mobile.
Yeah, he has a history of being this type of guy. So the Saints knew what they were getting when they got him, and they need to prepare themselves for, like, a lot of
first and 25.
This ain't something that he can turn off and on.
As a vet, if you're seeing a rookie carry on like this, a first
round. Again, he's picking his targets, but if it's something that the vets don't like, it's something that he can stop. There are physical ways that guys go about that, and there are also emotional ways that guys go about that. Your car might come up missing. There's lots of things that happen to rookies who don't want to act right.
But no, I'm gonna tell you how this one gets handled, though, Dom. One-on-one pass rush situation. The guy you're going against, instead of it being a backup defensive lineman, let's get Cam Jordan over there. Let's get Marcus Davenport over there. Just to teach you a little bit of humility in this game and understand it's about the team, not just taking out your personal vendettas.
I think we've grown past this as a sport, but we also had boxing gloves in every locker room.
That's true.
If somebody kept doing it, then we go ahead and handle the locker room. And the problem is that he looked big, and he also looked like it's hard to knock him out.
I have never felt more soft as a basketball player. In my daggone life.
That's the beautiful thing about football. If you got an issue with a guy, you can get your issue on the field or in the locker room.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.